This is the Tom Likas Show.
Everything you say is the fucking truth, man.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
There's no doubt about it.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. It's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you. It's me. And it's a different kind of an hour. Because an hour early, we are welcoming in criminal defense attorney out of Saks into our studio. And as you know, many times we have had Adam appear on the show with clients. And they get on the phone and they tell what happened in the courtroom and how this became an issue and, how it all played out. And then they thank Adam and then they move on with their lives. In this case, the client is somebody you know. Adam, who's the client?
Well, that would be you, Tom.
That would be me. I'm the client here. So here's what I'm going to do to make this maybe more interesting than it even is. We're going to do it the way we do it when you have somebody on the phone. I'm going to ask you to tell me what happened with your client, mm-hmm. who in this case happens to share my same DNA. It's not my brother. So what happened to your client?
Well, first of all, Tom, you know, I really respect one thing that you've always had on this show, which is transparency. And I think there's a tendency when this sort of thing happens to bury it, to try to keep it away from the public. And I'm really glad that you don't think that way. I think that the listeners care about what's going on, and I think it's fair that we share it with them.
I prefer to share these things rather than have them leak out.
Exactly.
And have people find out about them after the fact. And as a matter of fact, in this case, the media did hear about it, and somebody contacted me to let me know this was coming out. So, before it became what it will become, I just went straight ahead with it. All right, so...
So I know that you're working real hard, right? You're finishing up your book.
Yep.
And at some point lately, kind of late at night, you're getting like a random phone call.
Yeah.
So what happened? You got a call from a stranger, right?
I got a call from a stranger.
And you answer your own phone. This was your private number.
Yes.
This is a number that's not generally known by people.
I've had this number since 1998.
Whoa.
Who's had the same number for 18 years?
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess it is in the realm of, you know, courtesy, you came on and you're just like, hi, hello, how can I help you?
Right. Well, look.
You didn't recognize who it was from, right?
I do not get calls at 10:47 at night.
Right.
Now, I'm not sleeping or anything like that. I was working.
That's what I meant. You were working on the book.
I was working on the book at that time. And so when the phone rings, I generally think maybe it's a friend who's in trouble because who calls me at 10:47 at night?
Right, right.
Nobody. And so I got on the phone, and some guy was on the phone saying he was a friend of mine. And when he told me his name, I said, look, I'm working on my book right now. I got no time for this. And he tried to get me to stay on the phone. I said, nope, I'm gone. And then I later found out that this guy does some kind of a podcast or some kind of a live show that no one's ever heard of, as far as I can tell. And and I thought, this can't be legal because I know I can't call people up and just put them on the show without them knowing.
Right. So you actually were on his show.
Without knowing it.
Right.
Yeah. So at that point, I was going to let you know about it, but it was like it was a Sunday night, and so I was just going to wait until the week started to let you know. And the following night, I got another phone call. At almost the exact same time.
Right.
But this time, you know, now I'm aware of what's going on here. This must be airtime for this guy.
Right.
And so I let the call go to voicemail. And this person went to voicemail and left a 3-minute long message that included a threat.
Right.
And I don't feel one halfway this or halfway that. If someone threatens me, I'm going to use all the I told you this. I said
right.
to you,
right.
you were trying to get me off the fence or trying to get me back down, and say, you know, maybe we don't want to do everything we can do. Nope. I said that anybody who fucks with my business or fucks with my livelihood or my life, my privacy, I'm going to take him to the fullest extent of the law, and we're going to do anything legal that we can to neutralize what he's trying to do.
Now, you know, Tom, I've always been impressed at how accessible you've made yourself, you know, to your fans. When we've gone to the parties, and I've gone to, I think, almost all of them, if not all of them, you're not this asshole in the VIP section. You know, you come out and you hang out with everybody, and, you know, you're very decent that way, I think. I don't think you're any kind of a snob, but I know that you have a history, this something people can Google, years ago, that you were attacked in Seattle, as I recall.
Yeah, 2005.
And you got stitches in your face or whatever?
Yes.
I mean, that's horrible. That's sick.
And by the way, the only reason I was out at 3 in the morning is because we had done a show until 7 p.m., then had to go to LAX, then had to wait the hour for the flight to take off, then had to fly for 2.5 hours, then had to go 45 minutes from the airport to the hotel in downtown Seattle. And all that time, I had not had dinner or even lunch. And
right.
So it was after midnight, and I went to the concierge at the hotel, and concierge, I said, is there any place I can get just a basic meal? I don't need anything fancy. I know it's late. And so he sent me to a place that was actually a place where a lot of bikers and skinheads hang out, which I didn't know. It was the place that was open in the middle of the night.
Right.
So I went there, and yeah, long story short, and I don't want to belabor that story.
No, but
years
I understand,
ago, but
you got attacked by a fan, basically.
I was attacked.
It was these people who knew who you were.
Right.
Didn't dig what you were saying on the radio. I mean, this is part of the reality of being controversial, you know. You have people that love you, and I get a lot of people that say to me, oh, I love things you do, I love your show. But the thing that comes with that is the opposite as well, where you have people that hate your guts and they disagree with you. You know, Tom, I lived in Israel, and there was a big controversy with the prime minister signing a peace treaty. His name was Rabin. And, you know, people were carrying on like animals that he should be killed. And someone killed him, for real.
Right.
I mean, it was a shock. And if you look at the political discourse today with Trump, there's all kinds of people saying that Trump should be assassinated or whatever, which would be a nightmare if that happened. I mean, as much as I disagree with Obama, I don't want him to be assassinated, for
God's
sake.
Well, no one's being assassinated in this case.
No, I understand. But, I mean, violence is a real thing, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
And I don't appreciate, and the message that this person left you was really screwed up. And it was threatening. And I think that you have a right to take it very seriously.
And yes, TMZ, I have a friend over there who I've known for many years. And they, every day at the courthouses in the L.A. area,
they're combing through.
Combing through, looking for domestic violence with celebrities, or, you know, couples breaking up or divorcing. Or they're going through all the legal papers. And suddenly someone came upon my paperwork. And so... And this will be instructive to people who have a situation like this, where, because I've talked to people all the time, they say, somebody threatened me, and I called the cops, and they said, we can't do anything about it until he shows up at your place.
Right.
And I know that's not true. So, all right, someone calls you at home at 10:47 on a Monday night, or any time at all, and they threaten you on your private personal phone number. What is one thing you can do about that?
Well, you know, definitely a restraining order is very, very useful. There are a lot of them that are domestic, with the husband and the wife are fighting one another. But there's also something called a civil restraining order, which is people that have no family relationship, which is like you and this person who threatened you. And in this case, you know, a lot of times it's neighbors or coworkers, but it happens to a lot of people that are celebrities. There are some celebrities that have literally dozens of these kind of stalkers and harassers. And a restraining order is good because it sets it up very, very specifically. The person has to stay away 100 yards from you, can't come to your work, can't contact you, can't come to your home, of course. And if they violate it, they're immediately arrested. So there's no fooling around. This is this thing you're talking about. You call the cops, and the cops say, well, if he does it again or if he shows up.
Right.
When you get a restraining order, it bypasses all of that. he has to stay away, and if he doesn't, that's a violation.
There was another thing I learned in the process of this, which you told me about, and I didn't even know, that not only do they have to stay away from you, not only if they call you again or they show up at your place will they be arrested and put in jail, but if they own any guns.
Right, firearms at all.
Yes, they have to turn those in or sell them or give them away,
that's
whatever it is.
Absolutely true.
Now, I don't even know about my own case. How do you verify that the person did this? Because we know the person owns weapons, so how do we know if he ever gave them up?
Yeah, it's a big problem. The court order says that they have to give up all their weapons and bullets, firearms and so forth. They're supposed to do it voluntarily. If they don't, they're violating the court order. But this is the United States, so it's not like the police are, you know, going into their house and checking around for it or whatever. But this is something that we have to work on. It is always concerning when you talk to these people that are gun enthusiasts or whatever. Obviously, firearms are dangerous in the wrong hands, as we've always talked about, and it's a very big problem. But having a restraining order against you does limit your Second Amendment rights.
And which is very interesting to me, and it felt good to know that. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, and this is what's going to make this really interesting, we are going to talk to the process server in this case, and we're going to get some of the very interesting details of this story coming up. And at some point in this hour, you may have a question for Adam about restraining orders. Maybe you've been served with one. Maybe you've had to get one. Maybe you've had somebody threaten you or somebody harass you, and you didn't know what to do about it. Here's a good opportunity for you to learn. I'm learning step by step. I'm learning by doing is what I'm doing, Adam. I'm learning by doing. So by being in the situation, we know there are tools at our disposal to neutralize people like that who try to do that. Anyway, if you've got a question or a comment about this topic, you can start calling in right now at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're here at 901-3000. Tom, that is our number, 901-3000. Tom. Now, we're about to be joined by the process server in this case, but what is service, Adam? What does that have to do with anything?
Yes, let's explain. So, I went to court, and we submitted your complaint, and I got the order. And that's the temporary order. And then we're going to go back to court next month to make it permanent.
Now, let's tell everybody what that means.
Okay,
you got a temporary restraining order. What does that mean?
That means that I submitted paperwork, and we did not have a full hearing. And on the strength of the paperwork, the judge decided whether or not to issue a temporary order. Because I said that you need it right away, because it's an emergency. And the judge agreed and issued it. Now, to be fair to both sides, you then have a hearing, which is going to be next month. But in the meantime, you have to notify the other side. You have to give them service. Now, people say this on television, you know, you've been served. You know, that's some kind of an expression. But, you know, service is a complicated thing.
Well, it is an expression now, but it isn't about serving papers.
You've been served is like you've been warned or something. Or you've been challenged. Now, I actually called this person who was, you know, bothering you. And I tried to talk to them about the case, and I tried to explain what was going on. And they came off very, very tough and how hard they were going to be, and they were going to do all these nasty things in return and whatnot. And then I had to serve them. I had to figure out where they live, and that was not necessarily very easy to do.
So let's clarify. You're going to serve them with notice that they need to be in court
right
on a given day, and that's the day of our hearing for the permanent restraining order.
Right, and the papers that we filed.
Right.
In America, there's no secrets. They get to see everything, and you know both sides get to share each other's paperwork. And so there's actually a person who's a professional process server, a registered process server.
Anyone who's been divorced has probably met one of them or hired one.
Sometimes it can be done just by a lay person. You can't serve your own papers
right
of your own case. But you can have a friend do it. I've seen some really nasty divorces where the boyfriend serves the ex-husband, or they even have one of their children do it if the children's an adult or whatever, really nasty. But there's actually a much better way to do it. Even sometimes people use the sheriff to do it. but they're usually not that great at it. A registered process server is the way to go. And so I found someone really good. Let's get him on here. This
Wanna
is Michael.
Put him on now? Yeah, right, yeah. Michael, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing good.
So, Mike, you've been a registered process server for 25 or 30 years?
Yes.
You know, Mike and I were talking today, Tom, about how crazy it can get to be. And you've had cases, Michael, right, with people you try to serve that, like, freak out or people get attacked and stuff like that?
Sure. I've had every extreme from the person come out swinging to pulling guns to...
Can you believe that?
Wow. Having their dogs try to attack me, family members. I've had a wide variety.
Now, it's nutty because what you're doing is a court legally sanctioned process. And, you know, it's not, you don't even know the people. You're just giving them the papers, basically. So,
right.
I mean, they've obviously done something wrong. There's some kind of lawsuit or something, and they obviously need to deal with it in that way. But you're, you know, the thing they used to say, you know, if the messenger brings bad news, kill the messenger, you know?
Yeah.
That's almost the story. I mean, I don't know
why
someone would kill the UPS guy for bringing you bad news in a delivery envelope or something. You know, I don't blame the UPS guy for that. But somehow with process, it's different. I've always had people tell me, oh, they were so rude. They came to my house and they banged on my door or they it's like, well, so what? What'd you expect? You know? So this guy was talking a big game. And he didn't think that we were going to be able to find where he lived, but I did research and found it. And you went there, and right away something was kind of strange, right?
Well, what I did was I spotted him within a few minutes of getting there, and that's kind of what I do. I scope out the area, and I see what's going on. And within a few minutes, I saw him come into a room. I wanted to make sure that was him, based upon the information that I had, and I felt very comfortable it was him. And as I approached the house, he then ducked out of the room, and he was never seen his house before. I wasn't sure exactly where he was, but a door was kind of opening and closing. So obviously he spotted me. And because his window is a sliding glass door. It's a full-on sliding glass door upstairs. And so he spotted me, and I wasn't sure exactly what was going on. I know you had mentioned that there was guns. And so I was debating on how to handle the situation. And eventually I went up to the front door to confront him, and I couldn't get him to open the door.
I love that.
So yeah,
Mr. Big Man is talking about all the stuff that he's going to do, and he won't even face you and open the door. I love that.
Yeah. So I made a lot of racket, and I was there for several minutes. And eventually the police showed up.
You got to love this.
Wait. The guy you're serving
called the police
on you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to love that.
So I love that because, one, that confirms that the person is now there, and that's now a matter of police record.
Right. He's not exactly helping himself, you know?
Exactly. And so they come on out, and the local PD was very nice and cooperative. And
they know all about this, right? They've seen it a million times.
Yes. Yeah, they had a prior history with the gentleman thing, and so they knew of him. And
no, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh.
Yeah, so... I had a discussion with them and showed them my court ID and what this was all about. And so at first he wouldn't open the door for them either, you know, and they made a heck of a racket.
Okay, so hold on. So he calls the cops, and when they come, he won't open the door for them.
Oh, my.
This is like a tragedy, right?
Yeah. So his mom eventually opens the door.
His mom.
Okay, we're just getting to that now.
How old is this guy?
This guy's got to be in his 50s, right?
It appears so, yeah. I would say 50s.
And his mom opened the door?
He lives with mommy.
Oh, yeah. My.
And then he hides behind mommy. He lets his little old mother answer the door.
And how did mom react to seeing you at the door?
She's a tough lady.
I guess she'd have to be.
She's a tough lady. So she was, you know, do what moms do. They protect their sons.
Right.
So she was not too happy about me being there. She was willing to talk to the local police there. And so I had to step away for a while. and just let things calm down. So the officers spoke to him for a period of time, and you know they were really good at their job. They explained to the guy how it's going to be and what this means. And eventually they got him to come and see me. And so then I explained to him what this is about.
You realize this, Tom. He actually talked to him face to face.
Yeah.
He's the only one of us that's actually met him.
That's true, because I've never met him.
And I've never met him either.
So I explained to him what this is, told him about the hearing date, and the different points within the documents that he needed to be aware of. And that was it, you know, and that pretty much is how that one went down. And if he hadn't called the police, it would have gone down a little bit different. And basically the tactic would have been for me to make his life miserable in that house. And sometimes people get mad and they come on out swinging.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure that I got the right person. You know, I don't want a situation where, you know, it's something else, and then you think you got the guy, and then later in court, it's like, oops, got the wrong guy.
Right.
So you got to push it a little bit, and that's sometimes where, and this is why people say, oh, well, he was so rude to me. Well, yeah, but you were hiding for an hour, and we knocked on your door for an hour, rang your phone, or we did whatever. So if you open the door nice and sweet, then we give you the papers, we're out, because we're not making money sitting there waiting for you to open the door. We got to get X number of jobs done in a night. So we don't want to be rude. We don't want to waste our time there. We want to get in, out, and be done and not get shot.
So did you say to him, you've been served? That's the famous quote.
I said something of that nature. I don't say exactly that way because it does antagonize people.
Right.
And it really does seem to set people off. And so I'll say something of that nature. But I'll say the service for you. Something of that nature, and so that's kind of how it generally goes down.
So then the crowning thing on top of this, the cherry on top, Tom, is that after Michael left, I get a message from this guy that Michael stole his mail.
Stole his mail?
Yeah. So Michael was like, well, you must have been in the doorway or the entrance room or whatever, the first room of the house.
Well, the mail slot is in the door itself. So when the mailman comes in,
right,
the door goes into the house.
So he was going to report you for stealing his mail, apparently.
Yeah, on a Friday where we had the holiday and no mail was delivered.
Oh, yeah,
right.
It was Veterans Day. That's right. Nice.
Nice.
Good thinking.
Well, yeah, so apparently I got in the house somehow and stole the mail, but I didn't serve the guy.
No, but I've got an alternate explanation to how come there was no mail that day, considering it was a federal holiday. That may not have made a lot of sense in his from his side, tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And I didn't think you were the average mail thief, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I don't need his bills. I got enough of my own.
There we go.
All right, so he said you stole the mail, but something else happened too. Didn't he deny being served?
Yeah, of course. We went through that a few times, too.
All right, we need to talk about that, too, because here's the deal. I know a lot of people will, you know, hide in the other room or not answer the door
or
not sign for a package, or you walk up to somebody and go, are you Tom Likas? No. No, I'm not.
I love it.
So what happens in these instances when people say, you didn't serve me, I didn't receive the paperwork?
Well, in this case, not only can I identify him and that he said he was him, we have the two local officers who have talked to him,
right,
have known him, you know, so, and plus then we got the phone call. So we got him every which way. So there's no issue, and there's a couple more little things I have that will prove that he was served.
It's interesting. He actually made it worse by bringing the cops. That's the funny part, because that's just provided more witnesses, essentially.
And what was he claiming to the cops, that he was being harassed or threatened?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
He said, well, he was afraid of me, he said.
Yeah, afraid of me, too, by the way.
And afraid that you guys had sent me to, I guess, do something to him, something of that nature.
Really?
Nice, nice.
Why would I do something like that? I've got a business to protect. I'm a public figure. Why would I want to do that? I do everything by the book. And that's why we did it this way.
Yeah,
you know, I could have sent Dean out there with the Louisville Slugger, but you know, we kid about that. But in the real world, We do everything by the book, above board, legal. And I instructed Adam, just so everybody understands, I said I want you to do everything legally possible. And I do not want to be under, you know, and obviously I'm not saying that Adam would do that. I'm just saying, from my point of view, I want this to be above board and completely legal. I want every word I say to be true, and I want every word these papers say to be true. If we can make that happen, I want to make sure that happens. And so we employed professionals to do this in a legal way. That's what we did. All right, so now where does it go from here? He's been served. What have we heard since he was served with papers? We were mail thieves. What else?
Well, yeah, that I harassed him, that you harassed him. There's this whole victimology thing where people turn it around.
And did he say I beat up his mom also?
I thought you sexually harassed his mother or something.
Sexually harassed his mother? How old is his mother? 80?
Something like that. I saw her from a distance. I would expect her to be in that range.
You would have done this all in front of the police, I suppose. So that just makes it
exactly.
More, much
that's
more
one
exciting.
Time I would have the opportunity.
Yeah, fascinating.
did anybody in this process, we might have left this out if it actually did happen, did I hear that somebody was crying?
Wasn't it right that when you gave it to him, he started to cry?
He was emotional. We'll say he got very emotional and things of that nature.
Unbelievable.
You know, it's... extremely emotional.
Really? Angry emotional or sad?
It's hard to say. I kept my distance. The police asked me to stay back, so I had to respect their wishes. And I could not hear full sentences, but I could hear emotions and tones and portions of sentences. So a little bit of both, anger and scared and things.
All right.
Amazing.
All right. I bet he was a big man on campus when he was calling me and putting his voice on tape and recording his own home phone number in there and telling me he was coming to get me. He was a very brave man then.
Yeah, that all seems to have disappeared somehow.
We're going
to
see how brave he is when he shows up at court. Now, do we know whether or not he's going to show up at court on that day?
He actually was invited to come to the first hearing, which was the one when I submitted the papers. I did inform him of it, and he told me that he was going to come, and he was going to bring a lawyer, and he was going to bring his whole posse, and he was going to bring cameras, and he was going to, you know, do this big drama. And I actually called him from the courtroom, the judge asked me to, and he was still home. So I don't know.
Right. So now, here's my question, and it's not just for my case, because I know a lot of people listening are interested in my case, but if it ever happens to them that they need a restraining order or they've received a restraining order, I joke about restraining orders when we do a family law, because I know so many people who've gotten or given the gift of a restraining order. But
a lot of divorces start with a restraining order.
I'm guessing that on that date, which is December 2nd, I'm guessing that he is not going to show up.
Really?
I'm guessing. Let's talk about the two scenarios.
Nothing would surprise me.
Yes. If he does show up, what happens at that hearing?
If he shows up, we have a hearing. I want him to show up. That's fine. I believe in the justice system.
Oh, me too.
Let him bring a lawyer.
Come on in and defend that.
Damn right. Explain his side of things. Then it's up to the judge whether, it was justified or not. And if he doesn't show up, then we do a default hearing where we present our side and he doesn't respond because he's not there. And then the judge will decide, accordingly. So I think what he's done is indefensible. So I don't know what he's going to come up with. But, I'm a fair sport about these things. If he wants to come in and, bring some kind of defense, I'm happy to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, it would be easier and faster if he doesn't show up and it's a default hearing. But I, too, would love to hear him stand before a judge and explain why he would be calling people on their private phone numbers at 10:47 p.m. and why that's okay to do. I don't even know. How much evidence do you need? We've got him on tape. We've got a dated and time-stamped voicemail and a transcript of that call.
That's right.
In the call, he tells you who he is, his phone number.
Yes, he's not going to be able to say it wasn't me,
Right. It's not like we gave a transcript and you can hear the guy's voice, and we've got both tapes of both calls. So I don't know. Is there a possible? We don't want to help him, but seriously, how do you defend that?
I think the best that he can come up with is that it was, you know, in jest. You know,
right?
That's if I was his lawyer, that would be my genius idea.
Right.
It was all BS, and he didn't really mean it, and you overreacted.
Right.
Which I don't see any of that, to be honest.
I've already been attacked by strangers.
Yeah.
And I don't know this guy. He thinks I know him. I don't know him. No,
He says that he loves you, actually. So
he said that on the tape.
You know
yes.
each other very well, apparently.
Oh, yes. We're so close. But the reality is that this guy has called our show and attempted to get through many times. He has said things about me that that'll be a whole other case and a whole other story. Some things he said about me and our business.
Yeah.
And
real defamatory stuff.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'd like this guy to find out the consequences of doing something like that. And so I will be there, and I want everyone to know I will be there in court on Friday, December 2nd. And so will our screener, Mr. Dean J. D'Amelio.
Well, Dean recognizes his voice. That's very important.
Exactly right. Dean's talked to him a bunch of times. So Dean knows him right away when he calls in. And many times when he calls Dean, he tells him who he is. So, all right, let's see. Let's see how much fun that is. And again, you know, so people understand, I am not, and Adam, you know this, I'm not a habitual, litigious person. I'm not out there suing people all the time.
Not like Trump, right?
No. No. This guy's been harassing us here at the studio for 4 years, and we've never filed for a restraining order or anything else, even though we certainly could have. We never did. But when you call my personal phone number at night and you start threatening me, you have stepped over the line, and then I'm going to show people what weapons we have to stop them from doing that. And I want all his friends to know, and that's part of why I'm doing this. He has his friends who have also called here and tried to interfere with our business, and I want them to know that if they step over the line too, that we will do the same thing to each and every one of them.
If they don't like the show, I wish they just would
stop listening.
Yeah, stop listening.
Right.
It's really weird because in the messages that I get from these people, Tom, they know the show.
Yeah.
They're repeating things that happened between me and Dino and you, and they know the drama, the different things at the parties and the different personalities. It's like, so they're listening to it constantly and they hate it? What the hell is that?
Right.
If you don't like it, I'm sorry. I wish you did, but if you don't, then just leave us alone. God.
Crank call Adam Carolla.
Great idea.
You know, because no need to call here because we've got the technology, and I want everybody to know, and that I'm making an example of this person, that I will use every legal means, and I mean legal. I will use every I will not put sugar in your gas tank or slash your tires. I won't be coming to your house. Don't even think about it. That would never happen. But I will use every legal means. Apparently, these guys think there are no laws about this. Like, you can simply call anybody
ridiculous.
At home, anytime, unlisted number, doesn't matter, do whatever you want, and then say it's all a joke.
There's a really weird thing with celebrities, especially, Tom, where people invade their privacy and take pictures of their children and all kinds of crazy stuff. And somehow they think that that's okay. Like, you don't have any rights if you're famous, you know? I mean, give me a break. You're still a person. You still have some privacy, and you know, especially at your own residence. I'm offended that he called you, you know, like late at night.
Yeah.
At your house, on your cell phone, for God's
right.
sake. I mean, yeah, if he really wants to talk to you, you've got a business phone number, by the way.
I do. And by the way, during the day, I answer that number.
Yeah, that's the joke of jokes.
My cell phone. You can call me at the office.
Yeah, but I don't think you're like, you know, Halle Berry with 10 layers or whatever. I think that people could reach you relatively easy if they wanted
yeah.
to.
And by the way, when people have problems with their premium Tom subscription, or they didn't get tickets to an event we're doing, or they paid for something they didn't get, I personally handle that stuff.
Right.
And people have spoken to me directly when they have technical problems with the app or whatever. I act as a go-between with the developer to make sure that the questions get answered. Many people have dealt with me directly because I believe with a small business, you have to be hands-on with that stuff.
Yeah.
You can't dump it off on other people. So the idea that people would think that this is some big organization where you couldn't reach me, and so therefore you have to secretly get my home phone number, my cell number.
And surreptitiously record the call.
And put it online for people to listen to.
Which is just illegal, by the way, aside from everything else.
Right. I mean, if we really want to push this, couldn't we call the district attorney or the police or have a hearing about that as well?
There's a whole bunch of things we can still do.
Yeah. And believe me, if these guys become arrogant or difficult or wise guys, I've given you full authority to take this to the limit legally and do whatever it takes. And those who don't believe I'm going to do it, they're going to find out now the hard way.
All right. So Mike is still there?
Yeah.
I promised Mike. Mike, what's the name of your company?
Orange County Process Serving.
And how do people reach you?
714-971-2217.
Now, I'm telling you guys, when you want service, do not use the sheriff. They do a lousy job, to be honest with you. Do not try to do it yourself or have your brother-in-law do it or whatever. It's an art. Definitely call someone like Mike or Mike himself. Mike, you take care of Orange County, L.A.? Where else?
You know, I'm nationwide.
Nationwide.
I got a lot of guys.
Wow.
Personally, I cover, I do all of Orange County myself. I have one other guy in Orange County here. Sometimes I'll wander to L.A. on a few jobs, or Riverside, or San Diego on an occasional tough job. But I got more than enough work in Orange County to handle it myself, and I've been doing it for 30 years, and been making a living at it, and still kicking.
And let me ask a question for Mike and for you, Adam.
For sure.
All right, so if you're going to call a process server, do you do it yourself? Or do you have an attorney do it for you? How do you do that?
Well, you know, if you're filing a small claims case, for example, you're going to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a family law or more serious, you know, or some kind of like a restraining order case, you should have counsel. And in the same way, Tom, that you always tell people, hire a professional, hire a lawyer professional, and hire a professional process server.
And as everybody sees for real, for those who think
it is worth it.
Just saying that, you're now seeing in real time what I really do in a case like this. And it's all handled by professionals. You won't see me until the court date. Nobody will hear from me. I won't be sending emails to people or talking to individuals. Don't think I'll be calling this guy at home. I have no interest in that. I will be professional and on the up and up, and I will be dressed properly in court on Friday, December 2nd. Where is that, by the way?
Downtown L.A.
Downtown L.A.? I'm going to Uber out of the park. Not park at L.A. Live and walk into Temple Street. That's not happening.
We're gonna have fans showing up, Tom. Watch out.
Yeah, and by the way, if people want to come watch this, they can, right?
Yeah, it's open to the public.
Right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. This is still the United States, man.
Attention, media. Anybody wants to come down? This guy who did this thought he was a wise ass. He's going to find out what can be done. And again, folks, Friday, December 2nd. What time is that?
8:30.
You'll see me getting up. At 6 a.m. to be there at 8:30, and I will be Ubering.
Jeez.
And I am looking forward to this like you can't imagine. Just want you to know.
Okay.
And Dean.
Put a little pressure on there, Tom.
Dean will be up hours before me, because that's how Dean is.
All right. Well, Dean's a star witness, so that's important.
Yes. And I'll have to answer questions, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe not.
Whatever it takes.
If your
paperwork is good enough, the judge can just say, okay, I accept that, and let's hear what he has to say.
All right. Well, believe me, it's locked in and locked and loaded on my schedule. There's no doubt I'm going to be there. And so hopefully everybody who's listening who has an interest can show up in the courtroom Friday, December 2nd, 8:30 a.m., downtown L.A. And there's a lot of courthouses down there, federal, state, city.
Why don't we bring the Comrex brick and do a live show from the courthouse, you know?
I don't think we could legally do that.
Why not?
You can't even bring cameras into the courtroom.
Yes, you can. You can
really?
Get permission, of course.
Oh.
But you can bring the brick. There's Wi-Fi.
Do we have to get permission from the judge to do that?
It can be done.
All right. You know what? Do a little explanation of that. That would be great, great programming.
I don't want to create a circus-like environment, you know?
Well, we don't have to do it. But you suggested it.
You're the boss. I don't know. I can only make crazy suggestions.
All right. Well, we'll
what do you think? What do you think, Michael? Is that a good idea?
I'd pay to see that.
See?
That would be interesting.
Somebody supports me.
We do have to check with the executive producer, though. I just want you to know.
I think he's going to be a little negative.
He might be. All right, but he's been doing this 20 years. He knows better.
Mike likes it.
He knows more than I do.
Yeah, anything from the ordinary is always fun.
See, there you go.
Absolutely.
That's the spirit.
Michael, great work, yes. And a pleasure to have you on here to explain what you do, because it served two purposes. One is it told our story, but the other was it tells people about restraining orders, temporary restraining orders, that there are things you can do, that calling the police and saying, they're coming to get me, is not a very effective way to be protected.
Right.
What people, I think one of the most important things here is this. People need to understand, while I'm helping you out, Tom, I'm helping that guy out more. Because let's just say that
really?
You were a bad, vindictive person, and you wanted to mess up with this guy here. And so you file this restraint order against him, and you say these bad things. This way, this guy has opportunity to say, oh, no, wait a minute, that's a lie.
No.
And that's the role that a prosecutor plays, that we
he gets to tell his side of the story.
Yeah, exactly. And that way, because, you know, that's, I think, the Fifth Amendment. You know, this way this guy is not being accused of something he's not doing, and people are afraid that, you know, hey, if I dodge the process server, the problem goes away. No,
nah.
You lose by default. Maybe ultimately a warrant could be issued for your arrest or whatever the manner of the case is. So then they say, well, I didn't know anything about it. Well, you didn't know anything about it because you did such a good job avoiding that server. He didn't exactly get you the papers, or you threw them away. So now you lost in court. Now you owe all that money, or now you're going to be going to jail because you didn't do what you're supposed to be told. And so people really shouldn't run away from us. They need to run to us, and they want those papers to protect themselves. And that's what this is all about. It's their rights to protect their rights and get their chance to have their say in court.
I couldn't agree more. That's exactly right. I mean, seriously, that's exactly right. And I welcome that. I hope he hires a lawyer and comes in and fights the hell out of it. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, we're there more to help that person tell the truth than, I mean, Tom, if I just didn't deliver the papers and told you I did, you win by default. You get what you want. But this guy shows up in court, then he gets to say, hey, no, you know. And that's what this is about, and that's why you have to be a registered process server, because we understand the ramifications, we understand the importance, and, you know, people like me who've done it for 30 years, it's very important I get my job done the right way. I could have walked away when I saw him in that window, when I ID'd him. I could have just dumped on his porch, and maybe the wind would have blew it away, you know, and maybe he wouldn't have known about it, and then he would have lost in court. But I want to make darn sure that guy got in his hands, that I explained to him what's going to happen and how it's going to be. And so I went the extra distance here to make sure that happened instead of just dumping on the porch like a lot of times people would have done. And that's what it's about. That's why you do a registered server as opposed to your friend. Because, you know, your friend's scared. You know, I mean, I was a little nervous. They're like, well, this guy has rifles. He's hiding behind a door. I can't see him. Is he going to shoot me? You know, but I'm used to that, and that's what I do. And then I stand there, I bang on this guy's door. Is he going to come to the door with a gun? You know, and that's what I get paid to do.
I think it's great. And you know what? I want to do this as, and I'm glad you said that, because my whole thing
by
here
the book.
Is not to do something underhanded. My whole thing is to do everything completely by the book, completely legally, to inform everybody of their rights, to inform everybody of the date, to inform everybody about what they have to do, inform everybody that they have to get rid of their rifles or whatever it is they have to do. That's what I want to have happen. I don't want to get to court and have the guy say, I never was served, I never got these papers, I don't know what you're talking about. And my opinion, I suspect he'll probably try to do that anyway.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. But, you know, come on, there's too many ways now. You talked to him, the officer talked to him, people saw you there, and did he at all try to deny that this happened, or did he question why you were even there?
Who knows?
You know, he started going down the path that it was more of you coming after him, you know, and I shut that down. You know, I'm not there to play judge and jury. I'm going to say, hey, okay, man, you know, you got a good point. I'll agree with whatever he says. I'll say, this is your chance to say your side. And, you know, I'm not going to stand there, because if I engage him in that conversation, then he's just going to get more emotional, and that's where things can be lost. You get in there quick, you tell him how it's going to be, you let him have a little bit of a say, because if you walk away and you don't let him have a say, they get emotional. And that's when I get some of my fights. You know, so you let him have his say, and then you say, hey, man, I wish you the best of luck. Good luck on this.
Right.
And you walk away. You know, right. It's just like that.
Like it's nothing personal. That's good.
Fascinating conversation, guys. We're going to take a break here. Michael, again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your great work. Thank you for explaining.
Thank you.
By the way, thank you for explaining how this works. A lot of people think they can avoid these things.
And by the way, Michael didn't charge us an arm and a leg. It was very reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just love the professionalism. That's
I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem at all. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to come back after news for guys. We have a break coming up here as well? No, we're going to move that to the next hour. Okay, good. All right, so we're going to take a break now for news for guys. We're going to come back with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. If you've got questions for Adam, now is the time to start calling for a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM for Adam. Come on, boys. Let's go. 901-3000-866.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app.
Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Oh, you better believe it.
A woman has become pregnant twice after having sex only once.
We got a two-banger here.
We got a one-banger and a two-baby. This is fucked up. It happened in, I think they say Brisbane down there. It's Australia. How you going?
All right. I guess our girl Kate has been diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Sure.
That, of course, is a hormonal condition that left her basically unable to ovulate. So she went and got this hormone treatment, and now she has spectacular results.
Here's what happened. Dude jizzed inside of her, fertilized an egg, and she has this weird thing that sent out another egg. And 10 days later, his sperm, still alive, swimming in her big vagina.
Got another one.
Got the other egg.
Yeah.
So she has a kid, and then 10 days later, she has another kid from the same session. She's a big girl, by the way.
Yeah, I thought it was that Mama June for a second.
Right.
But it wasn't.
And it's one of those things where, you know, you hear these stories about women who are pregnant, don't realize they are, and then they just shit out a baby.
Yeah. And then that would be her kind.
Yeah, that'd be her kind. Yeah, that's crazy.
I feel bad for Peter, the dude.
Peter.
He didn't sign up for any of this.
Well, I hope she told him that she was on that fertilization shit.
Yeah.
Swedish women have a hotline now. This is something set up by one of the unions there, the workers' unions. You can call and complain that somebody has mansplained you.
Which is basically a man explains something to a broad without being asked particularly something that she might already know about.
Yeah, so you talk to the little lady like she's, you know, she's never done this before, right? You mansplain her. I love that.
They even got Timson to laugh. You know.
And in the same union, can you call and complain when a broad goes off about shit you don't want to hear about?
Oh, that hotline would be clogged.
Right. I don't get it. Why is it just working one way like that? Tony Bennett has a new book out. His real name, Tony DeDebetto.
Mm-hmm.
No, Tony Benedetta. What? Yeah.
Benedetto, right?
Yeah, something like that. But he dropped it because, you know,
he's embarrassed to be Italian.
Right, and that's why you hate him so much.
Fucking jerk.
And also because he's got the 9/11
thing
too.
Like him. That's the real reason.
But check this out. Like way back in like the 50s or 60s, this couple comes to see him play. They're huge fans. The woman's pregnant. They get a picture taken with him. And they're yucking it up about her being pregnant and stuff. And then that baby is delivered.
Right. He takes a picture with a pregnant woman and her husband.
Yeah.
And what's inside the pregnant woman turns out to be his future wife.
Exactly. 19 years later, here she is like still a huge fan. She gets this through her parents. She requests through Tony Bennett if she can come meet him backstage. Tony apparently decides he personally will answer that request.
There's a 40-year age gap, so it wasn't hard for the Tom.
So, in other words, she was a 19-year-old groupie that came backstage to see Tony
Bennett.
Her parents
created the whole fucking thing.
But the point is,
he started leading his the San Francisco Tony Bennett fans and all this other stuff.
He bagged a groupie. And he married her.
And he married her.
Done. I see this stuff all the time. You ever see this strip clubs advertise, on billboards and stuff, and you recognize the girl on the billboard, and you know she's not stripping at the club?
Well, yes.
And I guess
right, you're like, that girl never appeared.
Exactly.
Right. There's a small problem for our friends over
there. At the Pink Pony in Tampa.
The Pink Pony.
Yeah. They put Joanna Krupa's face and body up there and said that she was, inferred that she was going to be a part of something called Super Sexy Saturday.
Right, the two-for-one dance and shower shows.
Dance and shower shows. What the fuck is that?
Oh,
what's
they
a,
got
what's
a shower.
A, what's a
water,
dance and shower
the
show?
The water and stuff.
They take you take a shower with me? Why? What's with the shower? I've never even heard of that. Did they get all wet on stage?
Yeah.
It's awful. I mean, that's awesome. I like that.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue it.
Plenty more at newsforguys.com. Of course, you can find our podcast at GaryAndino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.